BHL. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on a Monday. How's everybody doing? Good to have you with us. It was a tough weekend for sports fans. If you root for the Vols or the Titans. Now, there's a lot of Tide fans in Alabama. And I had a guy, man, he said some ugly stuff to me on Twitter. You know, guy was going after me. He said, I always defend the Vols and I need to show some respect to Alabama. And I thought, hey, man, I mean, I just tell it like it is. We're a Vol Network station. I always say you can hear the game here, but I mean, if it's bad, I'll tell you it's bad. I can't tell you if it's good, if it's good.
Oh, he didn't give you enough specifics? Like what were you defending?
No. This wasn't like the press conference of Vrabel today where he was asking for specific questions from all the reporters. There were no specifics. I would love to know what I was defending, though.
Pull it up on your little computer or Facebook or whatever, Twitter or whatever you do.
I will say this. During an 8-game win streak, there were some people who poo-pooed that. And I said all along about that 8-game win streak, look, if you're Tennessee, it doesn't matter who you're beating. If you won 8 games in a row, that's amazing. That's great because that shows you're winning the games that you're supposed to win. And you're not losing to Georgia State. You're not losing to BYU. And you're not losing those games. Although BYU has gotten salty. Boy, they are salty this year.
Yeah, but not so much. Candidate, right?
Yeah, no doubt. The Wilson kid at quarterback, and they're fun to watch. If you ever like to stay up late and watch football, stay up and watch BYU. But I said they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. But, man, the last 3 weeks they've been outscored 126-45. There's nothing good you can say. You know, they had trouble tackling yesterday. We had our buddy Trey Wallace on, and he went all in on the coaching staff. And I'll say this, they coached yesterday very conservatively. You know, there were a lot of third and sevens and third and eights where they ran the ball, and the numbers are out there how many times they did it, but it was noticeable watching the game. They kicked a field goal on 4th and 2 from the Tide 15, and you don't know how many chances you're going to get anywhere deep in Alabama's territory. You know, it felt like they were like, hey, man, let's just put the deflector shields up, and let's just take all this shrapnel fire that we're going to get, like a space movie. Hey, man, put the deflector shields up. We're going to try to go through this asteroid field and just try not to get the whole, you know, spaceship destroyed. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about, Mr. Star Trek?
No, you're right.
But it just felt like they put up the deflector shields and were like, okay, Alabama is this asteroid field we're about to have to go through. So we can't blow up all the asteroids. We can't. They're not going anywhere. They're right in front of us, and we got to get to some planet on the other side. That planet is a bye week and then Arkansas. So here's what we'll do. We'll put up the deflector shields and try not to destroy this whole ship, and then we'll coast a while on the bye week, and we'll get the ship fixed, and then we'll see what we can do against Arkansas, who seems a much more defeatable foe than this asteroid field that lies ahead of us here.
Oh, man. It kind of felt like what they did. Arkansas, I would be super nervous about them.
I'm nervous too, but they're not Alabama at least yet.
No, they're not. You're right. They're not them.
But they should be.
They're old Arkansas. Yeah, but there's a big difference between the two. But if you don't go out there and play your best, Arkansas can get you.
Yeah, they can.
They have shown that they can get you this year. Yeah. Oh, man. Woo. Yeah, you don't want them pig suits out there chipping
chips. And that's a night game now in Fayetteville. And I mean, they'll pick Stewie your butt. Oh, yeah. I saw that earlier today. I mean, I'm a noted Arkansan who's not really a Razorback guy, but I do know this. They'll pick Stewie your butt to death on a Saturday night in Fayetteville. They will get after your butt. That's a loud crowd. They've been bad for a while. They are crunk on winning right now. This 2-2 record, and they should be 3-1. All my Razorback buddies are feeling it. So that's going to be a heck of an atmosphere to stroll out into. This is one of those times where, I mean, if that would be a fun game to watch if the whole house was full of people. But it's going to be, whatever it is, it can be allowed in there. But holy cow. I mean, it's like the whiteout at Penn State, which they always deliver. But, man, I mean, those Razorback fans have suffered. They're ready to unleash hell on whoever shows up there. But, Vols lose, and let's get into the Titans now. 5-1 after a loss to the Steelers. Really, the Titans spent the whole first half. They couldn't get out of their own way. Steelers went 8 of 9 on third down, which was a problem going into the game. It didn't get any better. They finished 13 of 18, so it got better in the second half. Pittsburgh opened with a 16-play drive, 75 yards on the books, but actually they had penalties. They had two penalties, a 10-yarder and a 15-yarder. So they wound up with 100 yards of total offense on the first drive. And as you pointed out earlier, Blaine, it was most of the first quarter. I mean, they held the ball for the first quarter. It was hard to watch, unless you're a Steelers fan, and then I'm sure it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think they turned around, you know, turned most of those Steelers fans away that was trying to get into the game.
Well, and, I saw a few talents.
Their tickets were fraudulent. You know, they had fraudulent tickets, man. You gotta be careful who you buy your tickets from.
No doubt.
Yeah, that was a tough start there. You know, man, I tell you, I felt like the Steelers. I went back and watched. I felt like the Steelers was pissed off about something. I don't know if they got tired of hearing the hype about the King. I don't know if it was the COVID situation moving their game or something. Yep. These dudes were pissed. That defense was fired up.
Yep.
I was like, oh my, this don't look good. Then the offense went and drove right down. Dink and dunk and dink and dunk. Oh, let me run here. Dink and dunk and dink and. Oh, let me run here. Dink and dunk and dink. I'm like, dang, man, are we going to challenge some of these receivers?
No
pass rush. It was, you know, hey, man, you got to give it. They got the mental toughness of Mike Vrabel. They came out of the second half and was like, whoa. I think, you know, the Steelers might have let up a little bit. Whatever. Titans defense, come on lockdown, got three turnovers. And next thing you know, you're in the ball game. Then once again, the head of the special teams ruled his ugly head again. There's old Gauskowski. Remember that lady called in and said he had a sock on. I don't know what he was thinking, because I know he knows what a sock is and what a sock isn't. He
right.
had it on.
You know yourself, right? You've been in this league a long time.
He had it on. He had it on. And he missed. So, you know, you can keep the sock on until you about to kick, and then you take it off.
Right. Hey, man, it was 60 degrees. You know, let them buy you a space heater. You'll be fine.
Yeah. We're going overtime, and we'll take our chances there with the way the offense was playing in. So, yeah, I would have. Golly, that's a tough one, though. But it ain't the end. And just think, you didn't play your best. So you got to say, they're supposed to be the best in the AFC. Well, we didn't play our best, and they had something to do with that, but not all of it. Some of it was on us. Mm-hmm. We can play better. We can beat them. That's how you got to think. And then on the Steelers side, they're going to think that they should have blown you guys out.
Right.
Blown us out. They say, oh, Big Ben threw that pass interception. Should have took a 5-yard play. We should have been up 30-7 and a half, or whatever the number should have been, 27.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, man. But it was a physical, tough battle. I liked it. I was all in, man. I enjoyed it. Except, you know, hey, we lost. You win some, you lose some. Good, a lot of teaching can be done on this one. On both sides of the ball, as well as special teams. So, hey, couldn't squeak by this one with those mistakes. That's okay, though. Now you know.
Right. And it's interesting. A.J. Brown basically said, hey, winning covers up a lot of things. You know, A.J. Brown said that after the game. And you know, one thing about A.J. Brown is that guy, and for people who don't know, he was slowed. The injury to him was a bone bruise. And you said, I had one of those. You can't even treat it with anything but ice. You know, you talked about how much pain that gave you. And this guy's running, you know, this guy's
healed now. But I mean, when he was, you know, in the process of rehabbing, and then all of a sudden you'll wake up and be like, oh, it's healed. No, seriously.
Oh, man.
And then you still like, okay, if I get hit on it, will it come back?
Right.
Yeah.
Does it come back? Or do you
obviously it ain't come back on him. Yeah, that dude. 75 yards for a touchdown. Man.
And here's the thing about him. Nobody ever said he was fast. It's like DK Metcalf, you know, like neither one of them are fast. Well, DK Metcalf chased down a dude about half his size in the game. And here's A.J. Brown, who outruns everybody who chases him in the game. That's amazing how those two big dudes from – how did Ole Miss not win more games? I mean, you had two A-plus pro receivers. You had Knox, who, by the way, I understand he's got COVID with the Bills. He's a local guy. We hope he gets well soon. You got Knox down there at Ole Miss. They had all kinds of weapons.
No, and don't forget, they had Van Jefferson all on the same team. They all got drafted. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I think Metcalf was a freak of nature. Now he was running fast at the combine. He hauled some big, you know, 4.3, 4.4 number. You know, that was a heck of a play he made, you know, there last night. I mean, wow, what an effort. That's a great coaching tape there for all the coaches from college, high school, and pros, man. That was a wow. That saved him 7 points, but wasn't good enough. They still lost. Old Russell. Russell well, picking that overtime.
Gil Brandt tweeted out a video from it's been a long time ago now. Aikman threw an interception and a Saints linebacker caught him, was running down the field, and Larry Allen caught him from behind. Who
made well I remember that play.
And you always say this, hey man, even big people in the NFL can run really, really fast for a short duration. Like even those guys can run sprinter speed, just not 100 yards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, if you put them in a, you know, a 20-yard sprint, man, they first 10, it'd be right there on your hip. You'd be like, whoa, that's it. Slow down. That is amazing, though. No, I'm serious. Yes. It's amazing. I used to be like, oh, man, I can't. That will not happen again. I may clip that dude myself. I cannot get that on film that 300-pounder was running right on my hip like, hey, man, I can touch you. I'm right here, man. Yeah, so yeah, that was impressive though by those guys, man. Great will to win, never giving up. Showed a lot.
No doubt.
That's what the Titans showed in this last game. They can say what they want to say, and they made all these bad plays, but their mental toughness and will to win, hey, they believe.
Showed up in the end, that's for sure.
That's just, what great just, teams do though.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of football left to play for them too. So 5-1 start, though, is a heck of a way to get the season going. Mike Wilson, we'll talk about how the Tennessee Vols season is going. From the Knoxville News Sentinel, this is Blaine and Mickey on 104.5.
The Zone. The Titans took their...
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5. The Zone. Let's talk to our guy, Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel, who joins us now. Well, we asked you last week, you got to, you know, you had to bet a stake on it. Who you going to roll with to start? If you were right, it was JG. He started, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be, you know, and we were just talking about that, trying to remember what the bet was. And Mickey, you tried to talk it down to just being a can of pop, but I remember it was a mistake, man.
Oh, soda pop.
Yeah, no soda pop. Man. Funny how that, I wonder what you would have said it was if you'd gotten it right.
Yeah, exactly. Mike.
It would have been big money for sure. Well, I thought JG would start, but I honestly thought that they would just play everybody over the course of the game. Oh, like, okay. You can run a little bit, so you'll run. You maybe throw a little bit better. You'll throw. And then once this thing gets out of hand, which it was probably going to get out of hand, and it did, maybe at that point you say, okay, freshman, you go out there and let's see what you can do against their second teamers. It really didn't go like that, though. It was JG with a very, very, very conservative game plan. And then at the end, you know, Maurer gets a few snaps.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at that game, Jarek Arantano wasn't the issue for right. Tennessee. He made some big-time throws. I thought the biggest thing he did in that game, he made that long throw to Palmer that looked like pass interference.
It was.
Dropped it. Yeah, I mean, he dropped it with an Alabama defender hugging him. But Garantano, next play, runs for 8 yards and a really nice play and throws a bomb to Jalen Hyatt for a touchdown. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that Jarek Arantano can do, and it also is the stuff that makes Jarek Arantano so frustrating. So I actually wasn't as surprised to see him play so much of the game because they kind of got him in a rhythm, and I think they need to find ways to do that. What was surprising to me was the points where they didn't put the ball in his hands. There were just points where, like you said, I mean, that game plan was conservative, and I don't know if it's try to keep the ball away from Bama, but what does it hurt to just sling the ball down the field sometimes when you're Tennessee?
And it's interesting because you wrote about this. Pruitt had said earlier this month that they won't coach in fear. And offensively yesterday, they did, or Saturday, they did coach in fear. When you're running on 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 8, and when you kick a field goal, when you're, you know, 4th and 2 on Alabama 15, that seems like the definition of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you look at that game and the way it shook out, and you say, all right, Tennessee kicked a field goal after getting the Alabama 15. I think it was 4th and 2 on that play. What are you doing? You're down 14-0 already. Field goals there aren't doing you anything. I mean, you got to figure you might not even get in the red zone again. Got to go for a touchdown. But that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was getting that ball before half, not even taking a shot, punting the ball back to Alabama. Then they get a scoring shot right before halftime. And then Tennessee gets a turnover at midfield, run, jet sweep, run, punt. I mean, didn't even take a shot. And that's just such a typical thing for a team to do, is to take a shot after getting a big turnover. And they didn't even throw one.
Mike Wilson on with us on Blaine and Mickey at by Mike Wilson on Twitter.
Yes, that's Mike, man. We have to ask you. I'm sure the fans are irate. We're closing the gap versus Alabama.
Okay.
What was the response to that? About as loud as I am right now.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee Vol Twitter can always be a very interesting place, and it certainly was after that. Certainly a mix of start Brian Maurer, which comical after that game. But then definitely the reaction to that was just, what gap? What gap is closed? And I think I saw one reply that was like, well, Tennessee was within 30 going into the fourth quarter. So is that the gap? But I mean, there's not much you can say when you're Jeremy Pruitt after a game like that. But going out there and saying we're closing the gap is a really aggressive thing to say. From his point of view, you know, I look through it to try to see where he's coming from on that. And I think he's seeing they've got some more NFL talent coming through the pipeline on this roster. They're recruiting better. He feels better about the talent balance being better. But the scoreboard says something different. And the scoreboard says this is not getting closer because Alabama's only getting better. So even if Tennessee's getting better, Alabama's getting better too. So I'm not sure what the gap that's closing is.
Well, with Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel. I guess I asked you, talked about recruiting. Has this affected with anybody decommitting with the way that they've lost three in a row, or is it just status quo and everybody's still on board?
It's been status quo. I mean, this class has had 25, 26 guys for months.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they basically filled up the class really early, landed some a couple weeks back. But, I mean, it's not going to help them when they're in battles with those schools. I mean, Amarius Mims was a massive target for them that it was down to Georgia and Tennessee. Georgia, Tennessee play 3 days before the kid announces. If there was any wavering in his thought on going to Georgia or not, Tennessee didn't make a case. And that, you know, that kid committed to Georgia, number one offensive tackle in the country. So it's not going to help them in those battles. Haven't seen any decommitments yet. But I mean, that, you know, that's always a possibility this time of year. And it's not necessarily the on-field stuff, but just the way that recruiting goes.
Well, there's not a lot to talk about in the game, to be honest, but what should be the focal point of this, the bye week, and focus on developing some of these players that have talent? They're just not quite there yet, maybe with understanding what their responsibilities are on the football field. Who do you think his focus will be on, Coach Pruitt?
Well, I think everyone wants to talk quarterbacks with that, but I don't think that's in the top of that list. To me, it's really fixing the defense. The tackling was pathetic against Alabama. Yeah. I mean, you don't see that many missed tackles from a player like Henry To'oTo'o. You kind of expect it from some players, but he missed so many tackles. I mean, there was that play with Najee Harris where Darrell Middleton has him in the backfield. He spins out, breaks two more tackles, gets yardage. They score a touchdown. I mean, you cannot have plays like that. To me, the most broken part of the defense, though, is the secondary. I mean, that's a unit that we expected to be very good with 2 3-year starters at cornerback coming back, veterans at safety, Jalen McCullough being an up-and-comer at safety. That group has had one interception all season. That's not acceptable levels of football for a team that wants to turn the ball over. So to me, that's where the issues need to be addressed. Those things have got to be fixed.
Yeah. You know, that's why they play DB though. Cause we can't catch.
Kenneth George, one of the starting cornerbacks, Alabama wide receiver slipped on a play and the pass hit George in the thigh. I mean, that's a play where you got to catch that and run 30 yards with it because no one's near you, but that's just kind of the stuff that's going wrong. And also, Blaine, I think get the freshman wide receivers ready to play more. We saw what Jalen Hyatt's speed can do for this offense. They talk about how fast that whole group is. We haven't seen that group beyond Jalen Hyatt. Pruitt says it's a practice thing. You got to earn it in practice. But at some point, you've got to throw those fast, talented young guys out there because you see a different dimension to this offense when Jalen Hyatt's involved in it.
Well, quickly, before I give it back to Mickey, I have to ask you, where's the leadership here right now with the team? Because, you know, when you're in college, man, your leadership group is always the focal point of making sure everybody sticks together when you go through a 3-game loss, to make sure there isn't any cracks within players being, you know, unhappy when things aren't going very well.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously point to Trey Smith as the overall leader of this team. I think Henry To'oTo'o is one of those players too. But that's certainly something that I think is a question on this team. Who's stepping up and getting mad right now? I mean, who is lighting into their teammates saying that what's going on right now for Tennessee is unacceptable? And we don't know that at this point. I mean, we don't know who's stepping up and barking at players. We don't know who's going to yell and who's going to fix this. But at some point, players got to take ownership of this and say, this is not good. The Alabama-Georgia losses being what they are, but someone's got to get real ticked off about losing by 27 to Kentucky and say, that's not what Tennessee football is. This has got to change.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're on with Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel.
Yeah, especially with what happened with Kentucky and Missouri on Saturday, you got to be scratching your head, you know. Mm-hmm. Does this bye week, I know everybody's bye weeks are kind of clustered together, but based on how the schedule lays out, I would say this is a pretty good time for a bye week for this team following Alabama, because it gives you time to almost reload your guns for this last run. And you got Vanderbilt, and, you know, that's a rival, and anything can happen in a rivalry game. Arkansas is much improved. Maybe Auburn's not as good as people thought. I mean, you're still going to have to play five more SEC games, but it seems like it's at least a decent time for the bye week.
I agree. And I think, you know, Tennessee had won 8 straight games. Now they've lost 3 straight. This right. bye week, as much as anything you want to talk about on the field, it's got to give these players an opportunity to really think and step back and say, what's going on here? What's got to change? Like Blaine just talked about leadership. Maybe this is where you see who is going to lead this team, who is going to start yelling and shouting and figuring this out. But it is a good time for that, because you look at the way the rest of the schedule unfolds. You go to Arkansas after the bye, you play Auburn the week after that. Other than Vanderbilt, those might be the two most winnable games Tennessee has left. So you've got to look at these two games and say, buckle up, go get these games. Because if you don't win those ones, you might be staring down the barrel of a losing season this year, you know, months after you give a coach an extension and a raise. And you can't have a losing season in that moment to me.
Well, and at this point, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, you got to go 3-2 down the stretch just to get to five, you know, get to 500 at this point in a 10 game SEC season. How much do you put, and again, Mike Wilson is our guest, how much do you put of the team's recent struggles on the coaching staff?
I mean, there's got to be some of it. And I think specifically, you know, we talked about the defense. Jerry Pruitt's a defensive coach. He's gone out and hired defensive coaches, obviously fired a defensive coach a couple weeks back. They've got to have a better defense than this. I mean, to me, that's the unacceptable part of this team. The quarterback position, be what it may, we all love to talk about it. But the two coaching issues I see are the way the defense is playing. I mean, it looks lifeless. I mean, again, Alabama, Georgia being what they may, Tennessee in the second half against Kentucky was absolutely uninspired defensively. And that's an appalling thing to say, because that's supposed to be a rivalry game too, to some extent. And Tennessee just lay down in the second half after playing a pretty good first half. And then we can double back to the play calling. I mean, the coaches have to put players in a position to try to score the ball. Are you going to win that Alabama game? Probably not. But you're definitely not going to win it by running the ball 3 times at midfield after a turnover.
So do you think this 2-week period, because it's a bye week and then another week, you mentioned Jalen Hyatt is a guy who stood out on Saturday. They gave him a couple opportunities. And he took advantage of those opportunities. Do we start to see not just some more of the young fast receivers? If the veteran guys aren't going to get the job done, if the veteran guys aren't going to lead this team to the next level, do you think they, hey man, we got 2 weeks to prep some younger guys. Let's put some new faces in there at some different spots and see what they can do.
Yeah, I do think that. And I think we've started to see that as well. One of the things Jeremy Pruitt's loved talking about is having these Sunday night scrimmages for younger guys who haven't gotten opportunities. It's generated buzz around guys like freshman safety Tamarian McDonald, linebacker Bryson Eason. That was a Harrison Bailey moment too, where he earned some buzz. But, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's walked away from those and said, maybe there's some young guys who can help us more than we thought. But then he doubled back after this game and said, well, you know, it's got to be earned in practice. He basically said the players know who deserves to play. And if we're just playing someone just because they're young and talented, that's not going to sit well with the guys who've earned the playing time. But at some point, if the guys who've earned it aren't performing, I mean, you got to kind of take a look at someone else. And I'd imagine some long looks are given this week at some of those younger guys.
With Mike Wilson from Knoxville News Sentinel.
Well, Mike, I want to ask you about that, because let's use an example like Keaton. You know, it seems like he's not even getting opportunities with the ball thrown to him. So I don't even know if you could say that someone's earned the right to beat him out, because – I mean, they could do exactly what he's doing. He hadn't been targeted very much in most of the games to this point.
Yeah, That's very true. I mean, Ravel Keaton was a guy that only really saw the ball in the first game. And I was stunned the other day. You know, we saw Brandon Johnson get a late target, but I don't think he got thrown to maybe until the fourth quarter of that game against Alabama. So it's been obviously some of that's with the quarterback play, not necessarily getting those guys the ball. I mean, Brandon Johnson had a good game earlier in the year, sort of Josh Palmer. It was Jalen Hyatt's turn the other day. So you're right. It is hard to evaluate which of those guys aren't performing. But maybe it's an offensive issue as well, where you say we got to put life in the offense by playing someone else who can bring something into it.
So where are we at on the injury front or during this bye week? Like, who's probably going to be sitting, resting, trying to get healed up? Or, you know, who's going to be getting an opportunity during that same time while they're healing up?
Yeah, I think Wanya Morris at offensive tackle is one of those guys. I don't believe he played on Saturday, and if he did, it was pretty sparingly. Because we saw Cade Mays, Jameer Johnson at left tackle a lot of the time. So that's a guy they really need to get back in there, because I think he is their best option at left tackle. Jeremy Banks at linebacker, he was another guy we didn't see out there the other day. I believe both of them got banged up against Kentucky. And those are two guys they do need in there. I think Banks and Quaveris Crouch are kind of that 1A, 1B at the second middle linebacker position, and they've got to have both those guys available.
No doubt about it. Yeah, well, Arkansas next week. Do you think having the bye and help preparation with the coaching staff to make sure they get everything sewn up, whether it's in the secondary, D-line, and offense, will give them a little bit of an edge with the fresh legs, let's say?
You'd hope so, and you'd assume so. I mean, that's kind of always, I think, what you expect coming out of the bye week. But to me, again, it's just this team figuring out what it's got to do better as a whole. And there's a lot of issues there. I mean, they've got to address these defensive issues, because last year's team played very well defensively down the stretch. I mean, a guy like Nigel Warrior took off in his play and his leadership, for that matter. Daryl Taylor, same thing. Daniel Batuli, same thing. I mean, those three guys were the reason that Tennessee won the back half of its season last year. And now this team's got an opportunity to try to put together a similar thing, but who's going to do it and who's going to figure it out and really raise this team up?
What would you say is the identity of the team? And then what do they want the identity of the team to be?
You know, I think the identity they'd want to have is winning in the trenches like any team in the SEC, because that's what you've got to have. And that's what we expected from this Tennessee team, especially on the offensive line. And that unit did play better against Alabama after a couple of pretty poor weeks. So they started to figure that out. But the defensive line has been absolutely miserable in that respect. I mean, they're not pressuring the quarterback. They're not winning at the line of scrimmage. And sure, you can say the last three offensive lines they face might be the best three in the SEC in Georgia, Kentucky, and Alabama. But that unit's just not getting it done. And Jeremy Pruitt's coaching that position himself now. So now there's a lot on that for where that improvement's going to be, because it's the head coach handling that position.
Yeah, well, they didn't get a lot of pressure on quarterback, I could say that. And then the secondary then definitely didn't do a good job covering behind them. So they work hand in hand. So I don't know if they worked too hard during that week and was exhausted for the game.
I mean, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's going to talk about it as long as he can. And he stressed technique on the defensive line, technique in the secondary. But if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, you're putting a lot of pressure on that secondary. And that secondary hasn't been making plays, so they can't afford to have much more pressure than they already do.
No doubt about it. We're on with Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel. Mickey.
Yeah, our buddy Josh Ward has done a really good job, it seemed like, of adding up numbers of losses of this amount or that amount. And one thing I noticed, I saw from him and maybe even a couple others on Saturday night, it's Pruitt's 12th loss by 21-plus points in his first 30 games. That's as many as Butch Jones and Derek Dooley combined. Big losses. And I don't know. I mean, a loss is a loss, whether it's by one or it's by 21. But to me, that does maybe tell kind of how far you are away from how far you want to get. Those numbers have to be maddening for Vols fans, especially after spending all this last number of years kind of in the wilderness with all this.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shocking number, but we were talking about that after the game. I mean, it's kind of a staple of the Jeremy Pruitt era so far, is Tennessee either wins or it loses big. There's not really a close loss situation here under Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, it's win or blowout. And obviously, you know, eight of those blowouts are against the Georgia, Florida, Alabama group. But you've also been blown out by Kentucky. You've been blown out by Missouri. Vanderbilt smacked you around. I mean, those are the teams that you can't lose by 23 or so points to, but they have been losing by that many points to a lot of those teams. And that's where it's unacceptable. I mean, you've got to be able to beat those teams or at least be in the game with those teams. And we did see that late last season, but I mean, that figure, it's shocking to think that basically half the games you've coached, or well, 40%, but basically yeah. half the games, you've lost by more than 3 touchdowns in 3 years.
So we asked you last time we talked to you, who's going to start at quarterback? You said it's going to be Jarrett Guarantano, Tano. And I had reached out to somebody I trust that's near the program, and they said, yeah, man, I think it's going to be JG. Is it going to continue? So bye week coming up, same guy going to trot out, number 2 under center or in the shotgun to start things at Arkansas? Is that the way it's going to be? JG, keep the dice rolling?
I don't know why it wouldn't be. I mean, he didn't do anything to lose that job to me against Alabama. I mean, he made some good throws. It looked like he went through his progressions a little bit better than he had in the previous weeks. So I don't know what you can point at from that performance and say he lost that job. I didn't understand getting people on Twitter telling me Brian Maurer should start. I don't know what they saw in one drive that I didn't see. I think he completed one pass for a yard. Didn't slide well on a run. I mean, I don't know what fans are seeing that I'm not. I think it's just a continued disbelief that Jarrett Guarantano is the best option. But that said, I would expect Tennessee to continue to work Brian Maurer and Harrison Bailey consistently in practice, giving those guys opportunities, getting those guys ready for opportunity, because there is a reality with Jarrett Guarantano that he can absolutely come out and lay an egg at any time. And you've got to have someone else ready to go behind him. We've seen that enough. So I think those guys are going to continue to get opportunities behind him, but I don't think Jarrett Guarantano has done anything to lose that job.
Mike, thank you, man. Great stuff. At by Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel. You can keep up with Mike and all of his writings there. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Peace. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir. Open phone line, 615-737-1045 here on Blaine and Mickey on a Monday as we continue right here on 104.5.
Jason Martin.